This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Vern, what do you think is the best baseball movie of all time?
I voted already. Sean.
Thank you.
Sean got my vote.
Thank you.
Did not see that coming.
Best baseball movie of all time.
Ed.
It's Major League, The Sandlot, and Bull Durham,
yes,
in some order. It just depends on the day which one takes the crown on that specific day. Today I'm going Major League. Sean gets the vote. Also, Hoop Dreams is tremendous.
It's probably because I wore my Vern shirt the
good
other day
you,
with his
I'm
face on it, so I appreciate the vote. Hey, Vern, we were talking about the furthest home run we've ever seen hit at Kauffman Stadium. What's the furthest home run? Because you've seen a lot more baseball there than any of us and anybody listening. What's the furthest home run you've ever seen hit there?
The one that comes to my mind right away was, I mean, it's batting practice, so it's not a home run in the game, but it was either Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton when the Yankees came through a couple of years ago. If you're sitting behind home plate, you know, over the left center field wall, past the fountains and the stairs where Fox Sports Kansas City or whatever they're calling themselves now.
Kind of where the truck used
setup,
to be. Yeah.
Judge or Stanton hit their setup, and that just was mind-boggling.
Can you imagine being there and then you turn around and you're like, holy crap, that's a baseball. I never thought anybody could get a ball there. There is a guy in the Royals system that people talk about can hit a home run that far. His name is Bobby Witt Jr. We started the show today, and Dusty made a case, albeit I think a little bit crazy, that he should start the season with the big league club. So I got a two-part question for you. When's the earliest we could see him? When's the earliest we could see Daniel Lynch? By the way, I really enjoyed your interview with him last night.
Thank you. The earliest for Bobby Witt, boy, I mean, September at the earliest.
Don't you dare say that.
Daniel Lynch, I'll say mid-June at the earliest.
As an organization, Vern, does it feel like the Royals are more excited about Lynch or Lacy, or does it feel like they're kind of on the same plane with those guys, which is there's no ceiling for either one of them?
No ceiling for either one of them. When it comes to Lynch and Lacy, and I'll say this to kind of describe the excitement. The excitement with Lynch and Lacy is evident to everyone because their talent is just so eye-popping. Both of them able to sit mid-90s, flirt with triple digits, both with plus-plus off-speed stuff. Lacy has the ability to be, you know, a 5 to 10-time All-Star. Daniel Lynch, not much behind him. So the excitement I heard last year about Brady Singer and Chris Bubich is different because what was so eye-popping about those two was their demeanor, their mentality, their maturation at such a young age. And when it comes to Lynch and Lacy, that's the biggest question because, look, we've all heard of and witnessed plenty of arms that have the stuff and the talent. It's what's between the ears. Daniel Lynch has made a big jump in his past 12 months as far as the mentality that it takes to deal with the failure of Major League Baseball. As far as Asa Lacy, this is his first full season as a professional, so they'll take their time with him because if the mind can match the ability for Lynch and Lacy, boys, put your feet up because you're going to be in a divisional race for the next decade.
Let's keep talking pitching. Vern, our Royals insider, joins us here on The Drive. Brady Singer was, I guess you could say, the first of that group, that young wave of pitching that got a chance to come up. How much does the fact that he actually pitched at the big league level and pitched a lot last year going to help him this season?
Oh, there's no way to truly describe that because, well, you know, Brady Singer was already a very confident young man. He arrived at Gainesville, a very confident young man. But every big leaguer I've ever talked with has at some point in their career admitted that when you're performing in college, tearing up minor league baseball, sure, you believe your stuff works at the big league level, but you don't know until you do it. And then, you know, coaches and front office personnel will tell you, well, you don't really know until you do it, and then you fail, and then you change it up, you adjust, and then you have success again.
Yeah.
So really, you need to have success twice, failure once, before you've truly made your stamp on big league baseball. Both Bubich and Singer have checked that first box, and, you know, 162 is different. Playing on the road in front of fans is going to be different, sure. But watching them last year and talking with them throughout the offseason and during spring already, boy, it sure does seem as if they may have checked all three boxes, and now the career really gets started with the knowledge of, I belong here. Now it's, what kind of legacy do I want to leave? What kind of numbers will be on the back of my baseball card?
That's actually good life advice. I like that. Like, you gotta succeed, but then you gotta fail, but then you gotta succeed again. That's the whole thing, Dusty. And if you succeed again, then you're good to go.
Yeah, get yourself up and try again.
Yeah.
Baseball and life, man.
Yep.
That's right.
Quite analogous.
That's right. Vern, first, hi, how are you?
Hello.
Been a while.
I'm well.
Okay. So news of the day. Kelvin Herrera announces retirement. It's no doubt in his mind which one, which franchise is most important to him, because if you saw the graphic, it was gigantic Royals picture. The other two are small.
I don't think he's going to have to pick a Hall of Fame hat or anything.
I'm saying, like, it's clear, like, to know which one he was more important to. But the thing, Vern, I think is great about Kelvin Herrera is that he was such a valuable piece to why the Royals went on those World Series runs. And I guess one would be, what is his legacy? What will always be remembered in Kansas City? Because I'll always just remember, you know, the Lori interview post-game about how hot he was, about the clip you shared earlier today on Twitter. But also, like, is there a guy that they currently have that kind of fills that Kelvin Herrera role moving forward with these new vamped Royals? Like, you know, the young, powerful arms that they have, they're trying to, you know, replicate again for the Royals in that bullpen.
Yeah, so many memories come flooding back with Kelvin Herrera. And, you know, just last week talking with Greg Holland and Wade Davis and them sharing their memories and how tight their friendship still to this day is with Kelvin Herrera. Personally, I always think of just how proud he was, and he should be, how proud he was of to speak English with the media, because he worked so hard to learn the language, and he did a fabulous job of that. And, you know, always made me feel guilty for my lack of effort to learn Spanish. Nonetheless, yes, the Brett Lowry moment and him pointing at his head and just confidently walking off the mound like, I did my job. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to my mind when it comes to Kelvin Herrera. To me, his legacy in Kansas City is, I don't think he was ever really truly appreciated, because he was the one that it seemed like no one cared about running into the ground. Wade Davis and Greg Holland, you had to give them days off, but man, it just seemed like, and I guess a lot of that goes to their role, right? To have a lead by the ninth inning is not as easy as it is to have a lead going into the seventh inning. So Kelvin Herrera was just a gamer. That guy took the ball seemingly four times a week. You would never do that to an eighth inning guy, to a ninth inning guy. And, you know, throughout 2013 and 14, Kelvin Herrera had the stuff to be a closer, and ultimately did become that and put up quality numbers. Dusty, to your question about this current bullpen, Scott Barlow would be the guy that I point to that you can throw in any situation.
Yep.
He's not going to blink. He's going to happily take the ball. He'll pitch 3 days in a row. Look, Scott Barlow pitched in as many games as anyone in baseball last year, pitched in more than 60 the year before that, and has been a well above average relief pitcher. So he's the guy to me that is borderline Studley, that really doesn't give the doesn't get the kind of respect that he is due in Kansas City.
Kelvin Herrera retires from the game of baseball. We'll talk with Josh Vernier, Royals insider, here on The Drive. One last question, then we'll get you out of here. How much, looking back on it in hindsight, did the Royals need Herrera and Wade and Holland? Like the whole HDH thing, how much did they need all three of those guys to make it work the way it eventually did?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it all begins, to be quite honest. You know, in retrospect, we'd like to think it begins with Moose and Haas and the corner infielders and the top five draft picks. No, it starts with, first of all, Greg Holland being one of the most fierce competitors this organization has ever seen. Then Wade Davis, who put together 18 months of the best relief pitching this game has ever seen in 150 years. He was robotic. And then a guy in the seventh inning that took the ball, like I said, four out of every seven games, it felt like, and was pumping 99 consistently. Okay, so if you have that, you're playing a six-inning baseball game. A six-inning baseball game where you still have quality arms like James Shields and Irvin Santana in 2013, James Shields, Yordano Ventura, Danny Duffy in 2014. Six innings into that bullpen, three out of 5 days through the rotation, because look, Duffy, Ventura, and Shields were doing their job. You knew Guthrie was going to eat up six frames, and you just had to scratch across one or two runs, and with the best base running team in baseball, that wasn't as difficult as it would be for a large majority of ball clubs. No, when you talk about the glory days of Royals baseball, Moose and Haas and Salvi and Kane may be the first names that come to mind for Royals fans now. But if you remember, the reason why that team was able to bully the opposition was because of those monsters they had at the back end of the bullpen. They were the reason why that team ultimately hoisted the trophy.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, talks Royals baseball like our Royals insider. And he's yours, Kansas City. He is Josh Vernier. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.